Hi, this is Cheryl Cruzo from Wealth Development Strategies. Tune in to Let's Talk Money every Friday at noon on Amazing 102.5, where our team of fabulous female advisors will put you in the know on how you can be a financially independent woman. Welcome to Let's Talk Money. And yes, it's all about that independent woman. Amazing 102.5 FM is all about empowerment, education, entertainment, and inspiration. And we're here to do just that. Last week, my sister advisor, Sloan Young, spoke about the importance of having proper long-term care insurance when laying a solid foundation for your financial future. Sloan's segment really shed light on what it means to take control when it concerns having adequate long-term care insurance coverage and how overlooking this particular area can have long-lasting effects on your finances. So to continue the discussion of having a solid foundation for financial success, today we will discuss the importance of home ownership. For those of you that missed our first show, the first step in the foundation begins with organizing ourselves, knowing where we are starting from. If someone has laid a solid foundation, nothing can come along and derail your life financially. Without doubt, home ownership, along with good jobs, good pay, and good health, is a major part of the American dream. Moreover, federal statistics confirm that many people in America are reaching that dream, with rates of home ownership ranging from 64% to 69% from about year 1995 to the present year. These are among the highest home ownership rates in the world among highly developed countries. The high rates of home ownership in America are all the more remarkable given the fact that the cost of a home is one of the largest ones that people will ever face. So there must be more than a few good reasons for this phenomena. I'll begin with a relatively short case study that will illustrate the main points being made. Amazing listeners, you will probably see reflections of yourself or others in this study, but this is intentional because the case study is meant to reflect situations that you could easily run into. I should also point out that none of the answers are intended to be definitive. For example, I might ask whether it is better to buy or to rent, or I might ask whether it is better to have a fixed rate mortgage or a variable rate mortgage. In either case, there is no clear answer that applies to everyone because everyone is different. Instead, I want you to think about the issues that are important along with the possible choices that can be made. In the end, what is better for one person might not be good for another, but only you can make that choice. I can tell you some of the things to think about, and I can tell you how some things work, but the choices that you make are up to you, so make an effort to make the best ones. Okay, so the case study begins with a couple by the name of Bill and Rhonda. When Bill and Rhonda were married, they rented a small apartment while they got established in their careers. They had a lot of tasks ahead of them as they had to learn how to set their financial goals and learn the basics of budgeting so that they could accomplish what they actually set out to do. But a nagging question remained, whether or not they should even think about becoming homeowners. They had heard arguments both ways, so they thought they would start out by looking at the advantages for homeownership. Then they would tackle the issue of renting versus buying so that they would have a much better idea of what to do. They would be first-time home buyers, and perhaps because of that, they have had a lot of advice from friends and family, especially their parents. Even so, it was important to them that this be their decision, not one that was forced on them by someone else. So Bill and Rhonda realized, of course, that it was going to cost them something to stay somewhere. So think about the advantages of buying a home seemed like a reasonable step to take. For example, they were paying rent where they were currently staying, and they would have to pay on a mortgage if they decided to buy. The only way they could avoid paying anything at all would be if they moved back in with one of their parents, but that would be a burden on everyone, and for a number of reasons, they'd rather be on their own and make their own decisions. So that's the case studies, ladies. I'm about to take our first break, but while I'm away, I want you amazing listeners to think of advantages and disadvantages to the first-time home buyer. I'll be right back, so stay tuned. You're listening to amazing 102.5 FM Let's Talk Money. And I'm back. This is Courtney Lewis Williams from Wealth Development Strategies, and you're listening to Let's Talk Money, the program that's all about you financially independent women. Before the break, I talked about a short case study regarding Bill and Rhonda, who are trying to decide whether or not they should even think about becoming homeowners. Amazing listeners, I want to hear from you, so please take this time to gather your thoughts and get ready to call into the station with your questions about the importance of home ownership. The number here at the station is 1-832-685-1025. Again, that's 1-832-685-1025. At this time, I'd like to introduce my special guest, Keisha Curtis from Realty Kings Properties, here in the studio with me today. Welcome, Keisha. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Courtney.
Keisha, can you tell our amazing listeners about yourself, how long you've been in the real estate industry, and your role at Realty Kings Properties?
Absolutely. First of all, Courtney, I'd like to thank you, Wealth Development Strategies, and 102.5 for the opportunity to be a part of the show. As you know, I welcome every opportunity to offer education and insight on home ownership and home buying. That's a topic that's near and dear to my heart. As for my personal background, I've been in real estate for about 9 years now and have been with my current broker, Realty Kings Properties, and the Patrick King team for 5 years. A couple of my specialties include working with first-time home buyers, move-up buyers, and helping buyers minimize their out-of-pocket experiences when they purchase a home by connecting them with down payment assistance programs that help with down payment assistance and closing expenses. I also work with a nonprofit organization as an instructor for a HUD-certified course that focuses on pre-purchase education for prospective buyers. Those who take my class are also given in-depth information regarding the down payment assistance programs that are currently available. As far as my educational background, interestingly, I was in education previously and have a master's degree in counseling. So, you know, the transition to real estate, I think many are still trying to understand. But my approach to real estate is a little different for that reason. Instead of being a salesperson, I consider myself to be more of a counselor who happens to specialize in real estate. So my approach is much more of a consultative approach.
All right. Well, we certainly are. Happy to have you here, and amazing listeners, we definitely have an expert in the building today, so take notes.
Well, thank you.
So, Keisha, I'm sure that you've heard the first segment with the case study for Bill and Rhonda.
Absolutely.
After some research, it seemed that, you know, the advantages to the first-time home buyer, I can see it being having pride of ownership. Mm-hmm. Home ownership would give Bill and Rhonda a certain sense of accomplishment because a new home would be something that would actually belong to them, not to someone else.
Absolutely.
Another advantage would be to gain freedom of control. If they owned the property themselves, they wouldn't have to get anyone's permission if they wanted to paint any of the rooms, redecorate, or make any of the changes. Getting more privacy would be an advantage. Most homes offer far more space and much more privacy than do most apartments. Establishing strong credit Now that's a huge advantage.
Absolutely.
By keeping their mortgage payments current, they could demonstrate to other lenders that they were worthy borrowers. This could come handy if they had large unexpected expenses in the future and needed to borrow. They thought that a strong credit rating would allow Bill and Rhonda to get a loan with a lower interest rate that could even save them money in the future. Achieving financial stability, I think that's another advantage.
Indeed.
If Bill and Rhonda decided to buy a home, and if they decided to get a 30-year mortgage with a fixed payment, they would know exactly how much they would have to pay for housing for the 30 years. They would have no similar guarantee if they continue to rent. In fact, they had no guarantees that they could even stay where they were currently renting for an extended period of time. I'd say gaining tax advantages. Mortgage interest can be used as a tax deduction, so that would be a huge advantage. Investing in an appreciating asset is another advantage. The value of a home, unlike the value of an automobile, would appreciate or get larger over time rather than depreciate. Build home equity, that's a huge advantage. As your home rises in value and as the amount you borrowed gets smaller, the resulting equity becomes larger. Equity, for the amazing listeners, if you're not aware, it is the difference between what the home is worth and what is owed. And it is very important for the homeowner for several reasons. First, you could always sell your home and then use the equity as a down payment on a larger one if you should ever decide to move up to a larger home. Second, you could also use your equity as collateral or as backing against a loan you might need to take out. And thirdly, you could always refinance your loan and take the equity out, either in the form of cash now or in the form of lower payments on another mortgage. So Keisha, before we consider the disadvantages in this case study for Bill and Rhonda, does it seem as if any of the advantages in the above list are more important than others? And can you add any more advantages to the above?
Absolutely. And Courtney, I want to thank you for that detailed list.
You're welcome.
So the first thing I would say, if Bill and Rhonda are considering a home purchase in the near future, the disadvantage that is most evident is the current economic environment. So what do I mean by that? Interest rates have reached an all-time low, possibly lower than any of us will ever see in our lifetime again. Mm-hmm. So naturally, as interest rates rise, home mortgages will become costlier. So in addition to that, let me also add, and I'm about to throw out a few numbers and statistics, so listeners, feel free to grab a pen if you want to take this down. Home values in Houston are still rising in most areas, and I'm not sure if our Houston community truly realizes the impact of that. In the past couple of years, we've seen appreciation reach as much as 12% in some areas of Houston, and taken in conjunction with the interest rates that are also projected to go up in the near future. Just to give you an example, a $200,000 home at 3.8% interest rate, which is very attainable today, will have a mortgage payment, principal and interest only, so let me qualify it that way, of just under $932. Now, let me put a pin here and say that mortgages for most will consist of principal, interest, taxes, insurance, and in some cases, mortgage insurance as well. So that 932 number is principal and interest only. The other factors will be determined by the location of the home and also the type of loan that you have, okay? Mm-hmm. So now, if we project out a few months, that same $200,000 home in 6 months or so will have a sales price of $210,800 by mid-2017 with typical appreciation of a less than 6%, and that is normal in Houston.
Wow.
So if we couple that with the interest rates, if interest rates increase by just 1%, the same home that costs $932 today will have a mortgage payment of $1,106, principal and interest only. That's a difference of $174 per month. Now, Courtney, I don't know about you, but I could do a lot with $174 extra dollars per month. So if you multiply that by 12 for the annual difference, that $174 times 12, and then by 30, if you plan to have a 30-year loan, you'll see the full financial impact of waiting to buy a home. So, you know, my suggestion to Bill and Rhonda is that they buy now so that they can take that extra $174 per month, take it over to Courtney and her team so that they can help you make some wise investments with that $174.
That's
and
right.
If you keep investing that amount, you could have saved on your mortgage for the duration of that mortgage and potentially change your entire financial climate with just $174. Yes, so that's the difference of now versus 6 months from now.
Okay. Thank you, Keisha. So some of the disadvantages to the first-time home buyer that I came up with, and of course I'll get your feedback here in just a moment. The biggest disadvantage that I saw in the case study was, of course, the responsibility of having a relatively large fixed monthly payment that Bill and Rhonda would have to make regularly for the next 360 days or 30 years, as you were talking about. They had never had this kind of responsibility before, and it was intimidating. Mm-hmm. So having a home almost meant that they had to have adequate property and casualty insurance coverage, and that they had to pay annual property taxes on it. And so these would also seem burdensome to a potential new home buyer. However, Bill and Rhonda also knew that their landlord had to pay the same insurance and taxes, so they suspected that some of their monthly rent went to pay those fees, right?
Yes.
Aside from these payments, the homeowner would be completely responsible for the upkeep and maintenance on the property. This means things such as mowing the lawn, keeping the house painted, repairing toilets when they break, to mention only a few of the many repairs that a homeowner will have to face. Right now, all they did was to call the landlord whenever something went wrong. As homeowners, however, they would have to do all these things themselves. So finally, in this case study, the home could limit the owner's mobility. For example, someone who rents an apartment can move from one city to another much easier and with much less cost than a homeowner. The homeowner will even have to pay someone to sell the home, and the cost of selling the home may eat up much of the homeowner's net value in the house. So can you add to the list of disadvantages of owning a home, given the advantages and disadvantages that I've already talked about, and ultimately, what would you say they should do?
Well, I think the list that you've provided for the disadvantages, those are some of the most common objections I hear from prospective buyers regarding purchasing a home. So I would, let's kind of dissect these and tackle the list one by one.
Okay.
With the first one, I think it's automatically assumed that owning costs a lot more than renting. Yes, but honestly, Courtney, many times that just isn't the case.
Okay.
Based on the Houston sales report for June, average rental rates for if you're renting a single family home, get ready for this. $1,883 per month is average rent in Houston for a single family home, and I don't think people realize that.
That's almost $2,000.
Almost, yes. Yes, per month. And for a condo or townhome, average in Houston is $1,658 per month.
Oh, that's still $2,000 a month.
Yeah. If we just get to the nuts and bolts of it, it certainly is. So when we compare that to a home, median home prices last month were at $230,538.
Okay.
Really specific. So that was median home prices last month, that which is up about 2.5% from the same time last year. So at this price, I know it sounds like a lot. $230,000+ sounds a little daunting, I can imagine. But keep in mind, interest rates are low. So let's, again, break this down. So at that price, your mortgage would be around $1,900 with a minimal down payment. So we're not talking 20% down, 10% down, nothing like that. We're talking a very reasonable down payment. You'd have a mortgage of $1,900. Now let me clarify here. Before, when I was mentioning numbers, I was talking principal and interest only, but this $1,900 includes principal, interest, taxes, insurance, and mortgage insurance. So this is your entire payment.
This includes escrow, sounds like.
Yes, absolutely. So your escrow's included. So this, with this new information, we're talking about basically an extra $17 a month to go from renting at $1,883, yes, to owning at $1,900.
Wow.
Okay, so even if you were renting a condo or townhome at $1,658, you're able to consider a $190,000 home for roughly the same cost of that townhome or condo. So roughly the $1,658 that you're spending per month on a townhome or condo, you could purchase a home valued or priced at $190,000 and walk away with the same monthly payment.
That's amazing.
And we haven't even factored in the financial benefit of the tax deduction, which I'm sure you're intimately familiar with. So that means, essentially that means you get a bit of a tax break for your mortgage payment. Mm-hmm. So lastly, one of the things you mentioned was the routine maintenance, which is always a concern.
Yeah.
To that, I would suggest a simple home warranty, which can help offset the cost of major maintenance and repairs. And warranties are available for as little as $400 per year. Mm-hmm. Now, there wouldn't be anyone to change air filters and light bulbs and things like that, mm-hmm. as you might have with your apartment, but we've got to leave some of the fun stuff for the homeowner to do. So they'd have to take care of their own light bulbs.
All right, you hear it, amazing listeners. Take care of your own light bulbs. All right, you guys, if any of our amazing listeners would like a complimentary consultation to assess your current financial situation, please call our office at 713-561-8110. Ask for Kathy and tell her you were listening to Let's Talk Money on Amazing 102.5 FM, and we'll be glad to assist you in building a solid foundation and becoming that independent woman. We're about to take a break. The number here at the station is 1-832-685-1025. That's 1-832-685-1025. My special guest, Keisha Curtis from Realty Kings Properties, will be taking calls after this break. We'll be right back. So stay tuned. You're listening to Amazing 102.5 FM. Let's Talk Money.
What up, beautiful people? This is George Tandy Jr. You already know I'm listening to the Amazing 102.5 FM, Houston and the world.
Welcome back. This is Courtney Lewis-Williams from Wealth Development Strategies, and you're listening to Let's Talk Money. We want all our ladies to be financially independent, and if you're just tuning in, we're here with my special guest, Keisha Curtis from Realty Kings Properties. All right, I believe we have a caller holding, so we're going to go ahead and take the first call. All right, caller, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Awesome. Go ahead with your question. Thank you for calling in today.
Thank you. My question is, if I'm a first-time home buyer, what are some steps I can take to better set myself up to buy a house if my credit is not that good?
Perfect question. Give us one moment here. Keisha Curtis, go right ahead with an answer.
Thank you, caller. I appreciate that question, and I think you were two steps ahead of us. We were just about to go to that. But we, in the class that I teach, to most of my class, most of the attendees for the class are individuals who are planning to buy their very first home. So our team came up with 12 steps to mimic some of the other notable 12-step programs. So we'll quickly walk you through the decision to purchase from when you first decide I want to buy a home to the closing process. So here's what I'd suggest. First step, number one, prepare. Just get mentally ready. That's step one. I emphasize the fact that the Houston real estate market and climate right now is a very aggressive one. So buyers have to go in knowing what to expect, be ready for the challenges that lie ahead. I tell my clients when they come into my office that purchasing a home in 2016 in Houston is not easy, and it's typically not that much fun. So forget everything you've seen on HGTV, where you go in, you know, choose three houses, pick one, and then you walk through the door and there's a house full of furniture waiting on you when you close. That doesn't happen here in Houston. Our market is a very aggressive one. So getting prepared mentally, emotionally, financially, all of that is big. Mm-hmm. Part of that preparation is checking your credit and also getting your budget in line. So a lot of clients will ask, well, how much can I afford when I'm thinking about my budget? One thing that I suggest is practicing with your budget. So what are you paying now in rent? So let's say your rental payment, you're one of the lucky ones, is only $1,000. If you're thinking you can afford a $1,500 mortgage payment, that's a $500 difference. So take that $500 and start practicing. Save it every month. So every month, pay your rent, $1,000, put $500 in a savings account. If you can do that consistently, then you may actually be able to tackle that $1,500 mortgage payment. Now, if you find yourself dipping into that savings account, going back to grab that $500, you may be kind of overestimating your ability to afford the mortgage that you think you can afford. So if you do that, the other advantage is you'll have a sizable savings when it's time to make that purchase to kind of offset some of your other costs. And then just getting your credit checked. So that's the other thing. Step two, loan pre-approval. And we'll go into that in more detail in a bit here. Step three, deciding what you want, deciding what you need. And definitely, if there's more than one person who's involved in this real estate purchase, you want to consult all of the parties that are involved. So there's nothing like moving into step four, which is selecting a realtor, and the parties that are collaborating on the home purchase have not decided definitively on what they really want and what they really need. So the realtor becomes the referee when we're standing in a house and debating whether or not that third bay in the garage is really that important. So it's rather uncomfortable for us. So please get that step done before you go see your realtor. So step four is talking to a real estate agent. Step five is shopping for a home. And I always joke and say that most people start off with this step because we're on HAR.com, Zillow, Trulia, yeah. Realtor.com, checking out homes before we even truly know what we can afford. Step six, make an offer on that home. So now you have to kind of put some money where your mouth is and make it official. Send something over to the seller. Step seven, get that offer accepted. So saying to the seller, I want to buy for this price point is just one half of it. The seller has to then say, I accept or I agree. The next step is going to be your inspections. So you want to make sure that the home is in the condition that you think it's in before you're committed. Step eight is going to be, or actually step nine, negotiate those repairs. So depending on what comes out in the inspection report, you want to make sure you're going back to the seller and having that candid conversation. This is what we found. This is what we're concerned about. Can we meet in the middle somewhere? Let me pause here though and say that in the Houston market, we want to be really conscious of what we're asking the seller to do as we go into that second round of negotiations. And I say second round because the first round was when we made the offer. So in that second round of negotiations, remember what I initially said about the Houston real estate climate. There are 12 people lined up potentially to buy the same house you now have an accepted offer on. So we want to make sure we remain in the seller's good graces to some extent so that they don't decide, you know what, I'd rather not deal with the hassle of this one.
Right.
I'll move on to the next buyer. Because there are 11 other people still waiting for me to just pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
So the next step, you want to get some insurance. So that's where you want to get your homeowner's insurance quotes. Homeowner's insurance, of course, your basic property insurance, as well as flood zones. You know, Houston has had just a horrible time lately with rain and flooding and things of that nature. So if you're in a flood zone, flood insurance is required. Mm-hmm. If you're not in a flood zone, it's optional. But highly recommended.
Recommended.
Yes. And flood insurance is very affordable for those of us who are not in flood zones. We're talking $400 a year to protect your property against flooding. And based on what we've seen here in the last few months, we know that you do not have to be in a flood zone to flood.
That's right.
So keep that in mind when you're making that decision. Then you want to do your final walkthrough. So that's going to be the next step. You want to make sure you're walking through that home before you're going to the closing table. So make sure there are no issues with it. From the time you saw the house initially to the time you're closing on the home, at least 30 days has elapsed if you have a mortgage. So that's a lot of time. Then the last step is go to closing and get your keys.
Yay.
So hopefully that helps, caller.
Caller,
thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Keisha, that was very, very, very detailed in your steps, those 12 steps that honestly I had never heard of. I hope that the amazing listeners took notes. If we have time, we'll certainly do a recap of those 12 steps. And
absolutely.
If anybody else has questions, feel free to call in. Keisha Curtis with Realty Kings Property is here to answer all of your questions. 1-832-685-1025 is the number. We're waiting. Okay, so Keisha, can you offer any tips regarding credit utilization in order to improve credit scores? I'm sure our amazing listeners will want to hear those facts.
Absolutely. Credit is so important because clearly I call it the gatekeeper to mortgages.
Okay.
If you call a loan officer or a mortgage representative and you're expressing interest in purchasing a home, the first thing they're going to want to do is check your credit.
That's right.
And if the credit score is not in line, typically there's not a step two. So wow. So that's the gatekeeper. There are no recommendations, no, okay, here's what we need to do. So step one again, get your own credit. Pull your own credit report. Mm-hmm. annualcreditreport.com is a great place to do that. And take a look. But as you're working through your credit, here are a few factors, a few things, tips that I would recommend.
Okay.
First thing, pay your bills on time.
It sounds simple, listeners.
Doesn't it sound simple?
It does.
It sounds simple, but a lot of us just take for granted that mm-hmm. we have that leeway. So mm-hmm. pay your bills on time, because that's 35% of your credit score.
Uh-huh.
Then another thing that I would suggest is pay down those high balance credit cards. So if you have a credit card and want to keep the balance at 30% or less.
Okay.
So at 30% or less, if you have a credit limit of $1,000, you want to owe no more than $300. And lastly, just minimize your credit inquiry. Don't let people pull your credit unnecessarily.
Okay, thank you. Amazing listeners, we have a call, so we're gonna take the call now. Thank you for calling Amazing 102.5 FM.
Hey, good afternoon. My name is Greg. I'm actually working with the Department of Veteran Affairs. And so my question is, we got a lot of veterans, bad credit and credit issues. What can we do collectively mm-hmm. to prepare our veterans for Houston? You know, Houston got about 4.5 million people here, and we got quite a bit of big veteran population. So our challenge is to help our veterans get back from that combat stage of living in housing without paying to ownership. Is there any groups or things of that nature that you guys can help us with that?
Great question, caller.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for calling with that question. We definitely want to take great care of those who have served our country. So a very important matter for Houston as a whole. The first thing that I would say to anyone, veterans included, would be getting educated. I think there are a lot of resources, programs that are available that the community and population as a whole are just not aware of.
Mm-hmm.
I am still meeting veterans who do not know that there are VA loans available for
mm-hmm.
them
mm-hmm.
that offer 100% financing, so there's no down payment. They don't have to pay mortgage insurance with those loans. So the cost of a VA loan is relatively low compared to some other loan types. So there are also down payment assistance programs that they can take advantage of. A couple of our state agencies offer down payment assistance programs, and they recognize veterans as one of the populations that they want to serve. So they'll give our veterans anywhere from 3 to 5% in assistance to cover the cost of closing.
Oh.
So when we look at the typical cost of a mortgage payment for our purchasers who are looking at buying a home that's in that average category as far as pricing for the home, we're talking 0% down for a veteran. Plus, if you couple that with the down payment assistance program, your closing costs are minimal, if any. Now, the key, the one thing that our veterans will have to do prior to taking advantage of any of these opportunities is what I just mentioned. Getting prepared, getting educated, making sure your credit is in line. A lot of our lenders are offering VA loans with credit scores as low as 620. So it's not an impossible feat, but we do need the veteran to make sure they're coming to the table with their house in order, if you will. So credit is where it needs to be. There's also the Veterans Land Board. So for veterans who are looking to purchase plots of land, there's that opportunity as well.
Greg, did Keisha answer your question?
Yes. Thank you very much. We're definitely looking forward to finding a little bit more information about you. But have a great day.
Well, thank you, Greg, and thank you so much for your service. Thank you for calling in today.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, I really didn't know that those many services were available for veterans, so that's
absolutely.
That's huge.
And let me also just throw this out there while we're on the topic. As far as down payment assistance, I think, again, it's assumed that the cost of homeownership and getting started with homeownership is exorbitant and that you have to have all of this money in your bank account. Most of my clients now, what I didn't say at the beginning, one of my specialties is first-time homebuyers and working with down payment assistance programs.
Okay.
So a lot of my buyers are walking into homes with less than a couple of thousand dollars out of pocket, you know, so they're coming to the table with maybe $2,000 to $5,000. And again, if we go back to rental rates, that's less than what you would pay to rent a home on the front end, because when you rent, you're paying first month's rent, Mm-hmm. Deposit equal to first month's rent and prorated rent. Mm-hmm. So if we're assuming $1,800 for rent, we're talking over $3,600 to walk into a rental situation.
Wow.
So down payment assistance programs are out there for everyone. There are requirements and some restrictions. So definitely talk to a reputable loan officer if you're interested in getting some assistance. Again, dollar amounts go are in the amounts of 6% with certain programs of your sales price, and some programs even here through the city of Houston will give up to $30,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
$30,000 to assist mm-hmm. with buying a home.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. Since we have just a few minutes remaining, so I do want to touch on another question. And one of them is, for example, with buying a car versus buying a home, it's interesting to me, and this is just my opinion, amazing listeners, you may feel the same way, that the mortgage industry allows you to pay off your home, this $100,000 home, I'm just throwing out a number arbitrarily, over 30 years, okay? And with a vehicle, that $70,000 car, $50,000 car, you're calculated to pay it back maybe within 5 to 8 years. There is a lot of interest.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lot of interest that you're paying on a vehicle versus a home. Why is it that the mortgage lending industry has the lending ability to finance the homes for so long? And I understand that you can do a 15-year. I get it. You can pay it off early.
Mm-hmm.
But is there some type of methodology to that that we should know about?
Well, I will offer my opinion, Courtney.
Okay.
I'm not a loan officer, so let me qualify my answer first by saying that I'm not a loan officer.
Okay.
However, loan officers, banks, mortgage institutions
mm-hmm.
are in business for the same reason everyone else is in business. They
mm-hmm.
want to make money. They also have to secure the investment. So there has to be collateral, basically.
Okay.
So when you think about that, and we think about the fact that cars depreciate so quickly.
Right,
driving off the lot, it's dropped in value. So with a car, as soon as you drive off the lot, it's already depreciating.
That's right.
So a $70,000 car, the lender's not going to want to finance that for too long because at that point it becomes too risky. Homes over time typically appreciate. If you look at even in areas that are considered not the best areas
mm-hmm.
or areas that are not necessarily seeing rapid appreciation,
mm-hmm.
over the course of 30 years, I would argue that 99% of homes, especially in Houston or Texas, will appreciate over the course of 30 years from the time you start the mortgage to the time you end.
Mm.
So it's not as risky for the lender to allow you to stretch that payment out. Now, you can always pay them off early. So
right.
also, and most loan products now have no prepayment penalty. So that would be my take on that.
Okay. Well, thank you. And it looks like we have a caller holding, so we're going to go ahead and take the next call. Thank you for calling Amazing 102.5 FM. Go ahead with your question, caller.
Hi, I just have one quick question.
Sure.
I really want to buy a home, but I don't know how much money do I need to save to purchase a home. My first time buying a house.
Great question. Thank you so much for calling in with that question. Depending on the price point you're considering, now remember that average sales prices now are, well, let me say median sales prices are right around $230,000. So, and that is, by the way, an all-time high. So I encourage anyone who's thinking about purchasing to do it sooner rather than later, because $230,000, we're already at an all-time high as far as median sales prices with no view on the horizon of things going down.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to purchase, I would say you want to save your earnest money initially. Earnest money is typically 1% of the sales price. You also want to save enough money to cover upfront expenses like appraisals, inspections,
mm-hmm.
Your option fees, things of that nature. So about another $1,000 to $1,500. Now, depending on whether or not you qualify for down payment assistance, you may need to also save 3.5% to 5% for down payment assistance. Down payment requirements could be more depending on credit score and your financial profile. But once you have that, then you're ready to talk to someone about purchasing a home. And again, if you qualify for down payment assistance programs, you may not even need the 3.5% or more for the down payment. You may just need that $2,000 to $3,000 to get you started. So that's a quick answer. So that's the answer in a nutshell. So hopefully that's enough to kind of get you thinking about it.
But call her if you are interested in purchasing your first home and you need some feedback or advice. Remember, you can always give us a call for a complimentary consultation here at Wealth Development Strategies. Feel free to write down this number, 713-561-8110. 713-561-8110. Ask for Kathy and tell her you were listening to Let's Talk Money on Amazing 102.5. Thank you for your call.
Thank you so much, really appreciate it.
You're welcome. So for the last 2 minutes, Keisha, if we can, if you have some time, I just really want you to touch on these statistics related to the housing prices and trends for Houston.
Sure. Well, I have put a few numbers together. So aside from the statistics that I shared earlier, I'd just like to throw in a word of caution to home buyers who are planning to purchase what we call starter homes, which are traditionally homes priced at or below $150,000. That inventory in this market has all but disappeared. Home sales from the $1 mark to $79,999 in price decreased by 20% in the last 12 months, and from $80,000 to $149,999, they decreased by 19%. These numbers are significant because at this same time in 2012, home sales in those categories were increasing by 3% and 16% respectively. So it's harder to find homes in that 150 or below category. So coming back to this year, we've seen increases in the number of sales in every other price range up to $500,000. Mm-hmm. So for our median home sales price of $230,538, we're at an all-time high. Mm-hmm. Average prices now are at $300,178, which is also a Houston high, second only to a record that was set last June. So what does that mean in practical terms? For my prospective buyers who say they want to wait and save more money before they buy, chances are increasing prices and interest rates will outpace your savings. So like our earlier illustration of the home that's $200,000 today, selling for over $210,000 in 6 months and costing $174 per month extra, if cash is a challenge for you, having cash on hand to purchase your home, check with your lender. There are down payment assistance programs, premium pricing. You can even ask the seller for contributions, things that the lender can offer as well to minimize your out-of-pocket costs. So my advice to everyone listening and to Bill and Rhonda, buy as soon as you can.
Awesome. Amazing listeners. We certainly have to give Keisha Curtis with Kings Realty Kings Property a hand clap. I so appreciate you for being here today and providing all of your valuable information.
Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you so very much. Don't forget to tune in next Friday at noon when my sister advisor, Katina Risper, will discuss the importance of retirement planning and tax planning. If any of our amazing listeners would like a complimentary consultation to assess your current financial situation, please call our office at 713-561-8110. Ask for Kathy and tell her you were listening to Let's Talk Money on Amazing 102.5 FM. Until next time, be empowered.